Well, Congress passed a deal last night to pull the country back from the edge, or back up at least to the edge of the fiscal cliff. Democrat Louise Slaughter from New York and Republican David Dreyer from California say the deal isn't ideal, but it'll work.
What we do have before us is a product that can avert the worst of the fiscal cliff and begin the process of balancing the budget and returning our fairness, we hope, to the tax code.
We are ensuring the taxes are not increased on 99% of our fellow Americans.
Joining us live for more, Nancy Cordes, CBS News congressional reporter. Good morning, Nancy. Good to have you with us.
Good morning to you, Bruce and John. Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you as well. So how did the deal ultimately get done? Who should get the credit? We know there were those Biden-McConnell talks. Was anyone necessarily left out of the deal-making process?
Yes, in the end, this was really a Senate and White House deal. The House of Representatives kind of got left out. And that's partly because the House Speaker himself kind of walked away from the talks with the President a couple of weeks ago. But House Republicans were still frustrated yesterday because the deal that was struck between McConnell and Vice President Biden didn't include a huge package of spending cuts. And they thought that this was supposed to be a big deficit reduction deal. So for a few hours yesterday, the bill was really in doubt. It looked like they were going to try to amend it to add a package of spending cuts to it. But the Senate was saying, look, you can try that, but we're not even going to take the bill up again if you change even one word. And so Republicans in the House eventually realized they didn't have the votes. They backed down and they allowed a vote to pass the bill as is.
But now we have another deadline, another cliff in just a couple of months.
I know, and there were so many members who were talking about that yesterday and dreading it. We've got a few different cliffs coming up. We've got a battle over the debt ceiling, which needs to be raised. So that fight is going to begin almost immediately, and Republicans are saying that they're going to be demanding the spending cuts that they didn't get in this bill for in exchange for any raising of the debt ceiling. And then you've also got a fight over the sequester, these across-the-board spending cuts that are supposed to kick in at the start of this year. This bill really didn't deal with those cuts. They tried, but this was so last minute, they really couldn't figure out a replacement for all of those spending cuts. So they basically just pushed it off for 2 months. So that fight is going to start right away as well, as both sides try to look at their entitlement reforms that we can make. What can we do to replace these indiscriminate across-the-board cuts with something more sensible?
Well, what seems to be a little amazing to us as we digest this bill is that not only were there not any spending cuts as part of it, they left that, you know, to a later date to deal with, but that this actually has spending in it. There's a lot of money in here for select industries. Things that jump out at you are things like NASCAR, Puerto Rican rum, algae growers, electric motorcycle makers. I mean, are people kind of scratching their heads as to how bold Congress was in squeezing this in there?
They are, and you know, there's a lot of spending in the bill. For example, extending unemployment benefits for jobless and longtime jobless Americans for another year. That's expensive. Patching the alternative minimum tax permanently so it doesn't threaten to hurt middle class families every year. That's expensive too. So this isn't a big deficit reduction bill, Republicans complained at the end of the day. But what the White House said was, look, we were willing to do nearly $1 trillion worth of spending cuts as part of a grand bargain that we were working out with the Speaker. It's not our fault that he walked away. But even Democrats acknowledge that they are going to have to give their pound of flesh at some point, and that spending cuts really now are the focus, and they're going to happen. It's just a question of what gets cut.
Nancy, very briefly, after all of this, is John Boehner's speakership in any danger with the new Congress?
I have to say, I don't think so. I was standing there outside of these long GOP meetings that went on with all the House members yesterday, and most of the members were praising him as they came out. They said, look, he didn't try to shove this down our throats. He didn't tell us we have to vote this way or that way. He just laid it out for us. We really appreciate it. And I know that any time there's a tough vote like this, there's talk about, you know, could his speakership be at stake? And I suppose in the fluid world of Congress, that's always possible. But as of right now, you don't sense any kind of open revolt going on within the House of Representatives, although the proof will be in the pudding on January 3rd when a new Congress gets sworn in and they have to vote on that.
All right. Nancy Cordes, CBS News congressional reporter. Thank you.